Measures Radio is on the air.
Has led you to the Tinker's Shop here on Just Measures Radio. I welcome you. Please come in, sit down, have a seat. We all must remember that we are the library for those who come after us, and we must share our knowledge with those who need it.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me. There's no place I can be. Since I found serenity, but you can't take the sky from me.
Well, welcome to all of you, to all my friends out there in JMR land, and those who are listening to the archives, and possibly those who will be listening to podcasts in the future. Welcome once again to the Tinker's Shop. Well, it's Saturday night, the 5th of July of 2014. Yes. What can we say? You know, listen to that young lady here sing Star Spangled Banner. That's just, that just definitely does the heart well to hear them. Okay, so, well, here we are. Again, like I've always said before, here we are. Same time, 9 p.m. Central. Same place, JMR Radio. Welcome. So, Nate, what are we going to talk about? I know I'd originally told people we were going to be doing horseradish tonight, but, well, we're going to be doing and talking on a few different things. Okay, so, guess I should probably go ahead and give you our usual webpage here. Where we're going to be working at tonight is out here at www.arlinn.tower.com/tinkers_shop. And Tinkers, as always, is capitalized. So, give you guys a few seconds here to get out to there. And once you're there, go ahead and scroll down a little bit. And you'll see an item, a new item here at the top for today, the 5th of July, 2014. And it's marked horseradish. And so what we're going to do here tonight is I'm going to be talking a little bit about horseradish a little bit later. Be talking some gardening updates, and I'll be taking you through, I guess you could say, a cautionary tale. So go ahead and click on where it says horseradish, and it will bring us out to the new page. So, well, the last few weeks we've been talking about your basic tomato and tomato barbecue sauces. And then last week, we touched on mustard sauces. And now, this week I had planned to primarily talk about horseradish sausages. But first I need to give you a... Give all of you a heads up. And the story down here in the next block is put there to be a cautionary tale for everyone. You know, everybody who gardens, and just as to have a heads up and a little bit more of a situational awareness. So it's kind of a piece of advice in and of itself. And if you are not aware of what's happening around you, this could happen to you. And Mother Earth had this happen to her. In the past, somebody cleaned out one of her gardens, and a couple of years later, she got offered some potatoes back that of a type that only she had in the area. So mind you, this is happening. You know, when we still have good times situations. You know, things totally haven't gone kaflooey yet. And, you know, what will things look like if the SHTF, really takes off? So, I'm going to go ahead and put this piece in here. And, actually, I went ahead and pre-recorded it this afternoon because, as you all know, my reading ability is not as good as it should be, or as it has been in the past. So, just kind of bear with me. And then after that, and I kind of get through with my rant there, I'm going to go ahead and give you an update on my garden experiments for this year. And then, if we have time tonight, I'll get into talking about horseradish. So, okay, here we go. This is Jeep's story from 1st of July of 2014, and he posted this over on Time Bomb 2000, and the way he titled it was Garden Got Raided, and this actually is a compilation of three separate posts that he had, and so I'll just go ahead and describe them as we go as to which one it is. Okay, so the first post that he put up was, "Wife and I went out this morning to run some errands and was going to work in the garden when we got back. Went to pull weeds and dig up some potatoes, and our garden had been stripped. Potatoes, peppers, tomatoes, cukes, all had been taken, including green tomatoes. My neighbor across the street, whom I trust, came over about that time and told me that she had seen my next-door neighbor's sister and brother-in-law in my backyard. I went next door and asked my neighbor what her family was doing in my backyard stealing my veggies. She assured me she didn't know what they had done, but that she did see them with a couple of plastic grocery bags of veggies, but didn't think anything about it. I asked her where they were at, and they had left to go back home about 30 minutes ago. I told her to call them and tell them that if I did not get payment from them in 5 days for $500, I was going to call the police and report them for trespassing and theft. She asked me not to do that, but this has really pissed me off, and I'm going to make them pay dearly. I told her that not only I am charging them for the food they stole, but time, seeds, water, fertilizer, etc. Neighbor went into her house to call them on their cell phone. They live about an hour away, and told them what I said. And she also told them that I had an eyewitness that they was in my garden stealing, and I would press charges against them. They turned around and came back and tried to give me what they had taken, but I refused to accept it and took pictures and recorded my conversation I had with them with my camera. I then made them go to the bank and get money and pay me the $500, and then I gave them a receipt. Wife thinks I overreacted, but I hate thieves and smiled as I stuck it to them. I'll bet they never try that crap with me again. Like I said, that was his first post. His second post, when he was explaining things a little bit more, was, neighbor's a sweet widowed lady in her early 80s, and we do give her things out of our garden, and she lives next door, and before we left, I was outside, and I noticed them over in her backyard, looking at her flowers that she planted next to the fence that separates our yards. Neighbor's sister is about 70, and is a liberal idiot who thinks that the world owes them something and is always running off at the mouth, complaining about something. I think they thought they could steal, and I would not notice it for several days. But who knows what these clowns were thinking. They never said they were sorry for stealing, but they were really mad about me charging them $500 for what they got. I did tell them they either pay me or a lawyer. I told the wimp husband that he needs to grow a pair and quit listening to his wife, or she would get both of them killed one day. Okay, so that was the second post. And then the third one. Went over this evening and had a nice talk with my neighbor. She is very upset her sister stripped my garden and kept telling me that she was sorry. I told her it wasn't her fault her sister and brother-in-law was idiots and that I wasn't mad at her. She told me that I should have had both of them arrested to teach them a lesson. I asked for her sister's phone number, that I was going to have someone call her and talk to her. She gave me the number and told me to give it to them. I told one of my friends who was a federal marshal what happened and asked if he would give them a call and put the fear of God into them. He said he would love to and read them the Riot Act and told them that if anything like this happened again or they retaliated against me, he would have charges brought up against them and come and put them in jail. He had come over to the house and had them on his cell speakerphone, and they actually sounded scared. LOL. Afterwards, he was laughing and told me not to worry. They wouldn't come into my yard ever again, and it would probably be a while before they even visited my neighbor. And, as he was walking out the door, he told me to enjoy spending my $500 I got from them. Okay, well, we're back. So, there we go. That's kind of the story there that, like I said, is kind of a, shall we say, a precautionary tale. Like I'd mentioned before that, Mother Earth has actually had this happen to her as well in the past, where she had a remote garden where she had a lot of her potatoes and such out in there, and she went out there one day, and son of a gun, somebody had been out there, and they dug up her entire potato crop for the year. She complained, she got a hold of the county boys, and the guy was just like, well, so? It's just potatoes. You can go down to the store and get them. You know, and she was had, you know, quite a few people living at home at the time, so, and she was somewhat upset, and it was just like, you know, the person just didn't get it. So, but what can you say? And anyway, the whole thing is with this business is we all are going to need to start keeping more of an eye on, well, on our gardens. You know, I myself, I've got 3 large gardens here at our place. And, you know, one is near the main entrance coming onto the property where it's pretty darn easy to keep an eye on it. And the other two, well, I've got a slide open window that, right at shoulder height where I can slide it open and rest something on the windowsill if I need to. And I probably should, you know, stop at that point. You can probably figure out what I'm talking about. So it's, you know, things are going to start getting tighter out there. You know, things are not our parents or our grandparents' generation where people had some honor to where, you know, if someone would see somebody drop a bunch of money on the ground, you know, they would pick it up and they'd chase after them and say, hey, you dropped this. But now you get people who are, you know, hijacking people's stuff. There's one case here. Oh, what was it now? It was just a few weeks back. I believe it's down in Texas someplace. Some woman had her little one in the car with her, and you know, she was leaving from Walmart. She kind of, you know, rolled through the stop sign, and she got hit. That threw her car into a tree, crunched the whole front end in, killed her. And luckily, the kid wasn't hurt that badly, but. What happened in that neighborhood? Somebody walked over, looked in the car, grabbed her groceries out of the car, and booked before the cops got there. You know, it's just, you know, people are not the same as they used to be. And those that have the Gibbs me dat mentality, you know, they're going to come and try getting what you have. You know, they'll probably come at night and just start picking stuff out of your garden and cleaning it out. So, oh, yeah. Oh, anyway, like I said, you know, the economy, you know, it's looking more and more like it's going to, you know, hit the porcelain throne. We'll just put it that way. And it's swirling around right now. So, and there's something else I did run across this week as well. I ran across a rather, shall we say, rather interesting PDF file. And it's titled, None Dare Call It Conspiracy. You know, it's kind of a play on, was it a Shakespearean line? You know, none dare call it treason if treason doth prosper. Well, like I said, it's kind of a play on words for it. And this is a book that was written in 1971 by a gentleman by the name of Gary Allen. And, well, the original place I found it, I also have the link here in the webpage. It was out at, well, you can see it there. You can click on it. But I also have a link, and I've actually uploaded a copy of it right to the website. So you can just click on where it's highlighted here, where it says, None Dare Call It Conspiracy, and it'll actually pull it up in a new window for you. And it's... It's an excellent read, and I would encourage everyone who's, you know, listening to my voice here, at some point, go ahead, open it, download it, and read the thing. And you'll get a heck of an education, because that is, how to put it? The person has gone back and gone through and just taken a very thorough look at the economy and politics and how that's all structured. I know you hear a lot about, you know, some people will, you know, blame the Jew bankers, you know, for the whole problem and, you know, get very anti-Semitic overall. Or they'll blame, you know, all those German central bankers. They've done it. Well, the thing is, the Rothschilds, yes, they were Jewish. So what? You know? Just because they were some real pieces of work, it doesn't mean that everybody of Jewish descent is not good. So, but it's basically just runs through the whole darn history of it. And it, the person ties together a lot of differing dots. For example, one of the areas that I found rather fascinating in there was trying to think of how best to explain it. It's, you know, the whole political system and whatnot seems to be, and the monetary system, it's all tied together. And you have basically those who are trying to control things. And they've been running a pretty good scam on all of us for the last at least 115 years since they got in their latest incarnation. And so they've been getting people to, it's a false dichotomy that they've been giving. You know, you hear a lot of talk about, well, it's those left-wingers, the extreme left-wingers, the communists, who are the problem. And then they come back with, no, it's the extreme right-wingers. You guys are all fascists. And then they say that, oh, hey, you gotta, you know, we gotta meet in the middle. You have to be a moderate. Well, here's the thing. Both the extreme left and the extreme right, in their in their masks that they wear, they're both pretty much oriented towards centralized control of everything. And kind of goes against with what our forefathers in this country fought for. They fought against a centralized government. They didn't like it, they didn't want it, and they believed in the maximum individual liberty. But the whole thing is with this is basically the political system and the economic system has been basically infiltrated. And so you have them, like I said, you know, giving us this false dichotomy. Really, the spectrum in actuality runs from those who want to have total control of everyone and everything, running all the way in the other direction, to total anarchy. And what, like I said, what most people are seeing these days and are falling for the con is that both those guys on the left-hand side of the spectrum, over towards the total control area, they're just giving you a little piece of it, saying, well, you got to be either this or you got to be that, you know, or maybe a moderate in between. Well, the problem is those controllers have been busy swinging everything to the left side, to the centralized control. It's just, in many cases, the people who are masked and claim they are conservatives, they're just not as, their stuff isn't pushing as hard and as fast to the left as the true left-wingers are. Anarchy's not a good thing. You know, that's a total mess. So you have to find some sort of middle ground between the statists and the total anarchists. So, I would call it more of a probably a cooperative anarchy. So let me do this. I'm going to take a peek here and just see what our time is here. And back in just a second. Yeah, okay. Well, we're, you know, going along quickly here in the evening. I when I start babbling away with philosophy and whatnot, I sometimes lose track of the time somewhat. You know, we're right around the 25-minute point here, so it's, yeah. Well, you can get going on this stuff and just, well, you can just keep on going forever. Like I said, you know, I'm more of a person who probably would say we probably need something that's, like I said, a cooperative anarchy, something that appreciates and allows the maximum liberty to the individual, but people still have to cooperate and respect each other, work together, and try to make the best out of life. So, well, I suppose what I should probably do here, I'm going to go ahead probably, and, well, not probably, I am going to do it. I'm going to go ahead and just throw a couple of our station break commercials in here. And then after that, I'll put a piece of music in here. And then we'll get going on, you know, my garden update things. Because, like I said, if I keep on going with everything else tonight, we won't even get to the horseradish stuff. So I'll go ahead and, like I said, and do the station break here just a little bit early.
How much is that alarm helping you now? Professional defensive firearms training could have played a significant role in the way this scenario turned out. Southwest Shooting Authority of Arizona has classes for all of your firearms needs, from multi-state concealed weapons classes to advanced tactical rifle, shotgun, and handgun training. Our on-site pro shop is also your one-stop shop for all your gun, ammo, and accessory needs. See us at southwestshootingauthority.com or call 866-886-8753 for more information. Southwest Shooting Authority, where gun control is considered a product of good training.
There are a few things life has to offer that is the great above the rest. Good friends, good food, and a premium handmade cigar from F.K. Christensen Pipe Company. All Just Measures Radio listeners get 10% off all singles and 15% off all boxes. And when you order a box, you will also get one of Natty's Selects free. That's right, with every box purchase, you get one of my hand-picked favorites along with 15%. This is a deal that cannot be beat. You can call or email Stacy via the link at Just Measures Radio or JustMeasuresCS.com. F.K. Christensen, your premium cigar company. And yes, each one is rolled on the thighs of virgins south of the border.
It came along. Everyone that knew him knew which side that he'd be on. He never was a hero for this county's shining light, but you could always find him standing up for what he thought was right. He'd say, "You've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything." Now we might have been better off or on the bigger house if Daddy'd done more giving in or a little more backing down. But we always had plenty just to live in his advice. Whatever you do today, you'll have to sleep with tonight. He'd say, "You've got to stand
old man, not a puppet on the string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. And I know that things are different than they were in Daddy's day, but I still believe what makes a man really hasn't changed. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything.
Yep. Like the song says, you got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. And unfortunately, in this country, a lot of us have been falling for something. So, anyway, well, I think I better get going on the actual meat here of the webpage today. I could probably, you know, keep on going ranting and raving, but I would kind of defeat the purpose here. So, like I said, I'm going to go ahead here and kind of give you a little bit of an update on a couple things here. I had that containerized potato planting that I had talked about a couple weeks back. Actually, 6 weeks ago now. And yeah, if you scroll on down past the you know, the whole garden cautionary tale, you'll get down here and you'll see a heading here that says containerized potato update. And like I say here, you know, what a difference 6 weeks makes. On the left hand side here, these are the original photos that I used when I discussed doing, you know, planting potatoes in containers back on the 23rd of May. And on the right side, I've got a couple of pictures that I took today. And it's, well, basically in the same area. You know, obviously I didn't get the exact angles right, but we're pretty close here. So, left side here you can see where I had the 10 of the potato pots there along the fence. And you can just barely see the top of the fence portion here. And obviously there was nothing in there. Over on the right-hand side, you see what they look like today. The fence actually is probably about the same height as that gate is that you can see on the right side. And those potatoes are taller than that. They're up at the where I've got my white pipe that I have strung along the side of the garden just as a, shall we say, a deer repellent. Yeah, so those plants are getting up there. They're getting pretty darn tall. And again, you know, next shot down, you got, you know, kind of a side view of what the potatoes look like with the garlics in front here. And on the right side, you have another pretty good shot of, you know, what those potatoes look like. And by the way, that white pipe there is at about between 4.5 and 5 foot high. So those things are definitely look like they're really growing and growing well. So we'll, shall we say, continue on this summer here and to let you know how things are progressing. So go ahead and scroll down a little bit more. And like I have here, you know, I've got, you know, labeled, you know, more happy potato shots. In the left-hand shot here, you can actually see where there's you know, a lot of nice blossoms there on the potatoes. They seem to be really happy and growing and, you know, flowering. And you actually, with potatoes, you'll actually get look like little teeny berries at the top. And those are actually what's called true potato seed. And this year I'm actually going to be... I'm going to do it this year. I'm going to save some true potato seed just so I can start it later on and just see what kind of varieties I can get, because this year I've got, what is it, 5 or 6 different varieties of potatoes. Of course, they're pretty well segregated by area, but, you know, we might be able to get a little bit of cross-matching in there. And so if you look at the right-hand photo here, that's actually, again, a semi-close-up view of some of the pots or containers where the potatoes are in. And those things are all the way filled up with compost now. And these plants are big enough and starting to hang over where they're actually hiding the pots. So, you know, in these particular ones, no weeding had to have been done. So, and if we go down here to the next picture, the bigger one, this is the other potato patch that I have. And it's probably kind of hard to see in here, but there's actually 4 beds of potatoes showing in here. It's an area that's probably, about 40 foot, you know, going to the back or away from us. Width-wise, it's about 25 or 30 feet. So, got lots of hills of potatoes in there. And if these things all come through this year, I'm going to have potatoes coming out of my ears. I'll be able to eat 5 pounds of potatoes a day, probably. But, because altogether, I've got, what the heck is it? In the beds, I've got, I think it's 170 hills of potatoes. And then in the buckets, or the containers, I've got 28 buckets of potatoes. And if it works out that if I'm getting, you know, 100 pounds out of 8 of them like the guy from England had, I don't know where I'm going to go with all these potatoes. But I'm hoping, if nothing else, if I get, you know, 5 pounds of potatoes out of each one of the pots, which would be less than half of what the guy got, I'll be happy. Okay. And next thing down here, figure I'd give you another little picture in here. Remember up there a little bit I mentioned about the garlics in the first pair of shots from the 23rd of May? You know, the garlics were doing good. They were growing. They were probably, maybe a foot or so tall. On the right there, again, it was, you could possibly see them, but they're probably about 2.5 foot tall. And this here is a kind of a close shot of what are called garlic scapes. And these are like a hard stem that grows up from through the middle. And it's basically the stalk. And at the top of that is what's referred to as the scapes. It's the flowering tip for garlic. And normally, the garlic scapes don't even get to full maturity. We usually cut those things off, and they give us a really good addition for, say, for stir fries, or if we're going to grill some burgers out on the grill, we'll take one of those and chop it up pretty fine and mix it with the burger meat. Gives it a nice, shall we say, a nice zing. And so now the scapes, as they mature, they actually start getting fairly good size, and it'll start getting some little, basically like garlic cloves in there. That and I've been told these things can actually be planted as well. Normally, garlic is propagated by taking an entire bulb of garlic and you split the cloves off carefully and you plant them in the fall, push it down in the soil till Well, basically until almost the whole thing is there, you cover it over, you pat it down, and you mulch it. So that way then the plants will get started in the spring and grow to be, you know, good-sized bulbs again in the ground. And actually, with the escape, I guess you could call them cloves, the same thing can supposedly be done. So that'll be an additional experiment this year that I'll have. And I could probably mention, it's sort of like what they call walking onions or Egyptian onions. They'll get this little bulblet set up at the top where you'll have several small or tiny, basically, onion sets. Garlic works the same way. They're both kind of part of the same family. Well, now that I've got this part done, why don't I do this? I'm going to go ahead here and throw another piece or two of music in here, and then we'll come back and I can actually talk a little bit about horseradish.
Where I come from, here's what I tell everyone. I was born by God's dear grace in an extraordinary place, where the stars and stripes and the eagle flies. It's a big old land with countless dreams. Happiness ain't out of reach. Hard work pays off the way it should. Yeah, I've seen enough to know that we've got it good. Where the stars and stripes and the eagle fly. Stands in a harbor for what we believe. And there's a bell that still echoes the price that it costs to be free. I pledge allegiance to this place. And if that bothers you, well, that's too bad. But if you got pride and you're proud, you do. Hey, we could use some more like me and you. Where the stars and stripes and the eagle on earth, but it's the only place that I prefer to love my wife and raise my kids. Hey, the same way that my daddy did, with stars and stripes and eagles fly. Where are the stars and stripes?
Okay, well, I'm back and realized I've got, what was it? I'm about 46 minutes ready here, so I think I'm going to have to scoot along here, and I can actually probably get this section in here yet tonight. So, okay, so horseradish. And, yeah, a lot of this information I have gone ahead and just, you know, gathered it together from Wikipedia and some other sources, so. And, you know, a lot of the photos here are mine, so. So, okay, horseradish, it's, let's see, Amauricia rusticana. I'm going to skip the Latin names here, I think. I have a hard time with those. But anyhow, it's a perennial plant of the brassica family, and that includes mustard, wasabi, broccoli, cabbage, you know, Brussels sprouts, you know, a lot of different things. So it's all cabbage plant family type of thing. And, it's like I have here, you know, the plant is probably native to, you know, southeastern Europe and western Asia, but it's now, you know, popular, you know, all around the world, you know, just like the rest of the brassicas, you know, because you'll have Chinese cabbage, you'll have bok choy, and lots of the other different ones. And it grows up to about a meter and a half in height, which is, you know, about 4.95 feet tall. And it's, you know, primarily cultivated for its large, white, tapered root, you know, which gives us our, you know, horseradish sauce. Left side here with the photos, you can kind of see my horseradish patch that I have. And, you know, it really doesn't look all that big, but off over to the right side of that smaller photo, that's one of our compost bins we have on our place here, and that's made out of 4-foot-wide pallets. And that's up, you know, higher-wise than the plants are. So you can see these things are, you know, they're right around 5 foot tall. And, again, you can't really see the flowers on mine, but over here to the right, this is an example of what the horseradish flowers look like. You know, it's a large kind of serrated edged leaf, and you know, it's kind of pretty flowers. I've a couple times talked to people and says, well, do I take those darn things off? Will it stunt my growth of the horseradish? And they go, no, they go ahead and leave them on there. They look and smell kind of pretty. And and about, you know, horseradish roots, you know, when you dig the roots up, when you do it carefully and the roots intact, it doesn't have much smell at all, you know, believe it or not. So, but when you cut it or you grate it, you know, then the enzymes in the, you know, now broken plant cells, they break down a compound called synuclein. It's a glycosylate to produce anal isocyanate, in other words, mustard oil. And, you know, that, you know, the mustard oil will, you know, irritate the sinuses, or, you know, of the, or, you know, the mucous membranes, sinuses and eyes. And, you know, it's, can be pretty powerful. And, you know, my suggestion, you know, if you go and, either grow or purchase horseradish roots, when you process them, you know, wash them down good, of course. You can, you know, cut off a section probably about 3 inches long or so, and you'll peel it, and then you can grate it. Some people are pretty sensitive to the mustard oil, so you want to, you might want to use some of these nitrile gloves, you know, the cheap throwaway blue gloves. Like I said, make sure you're upwind of the stuff you're grating. You can just use a regular fine grater, you know, in a bowl, you know, and just grate it down. You know, basically you're making a pulp out of it. And this, you know, your grated mash or your grated pulp, you should use it, you know, pretty darn soon. know, you don't want to leave it set around for 2 or 3 days, because by that point it'll just, the compounds will have degraded and they'll just be, you know, flat. So you should use it immediately, or you can preserve it in vinegar, you know, for a better flavor. And, well, like I have here, once exposed to air or heat, it'll begin to lose its potency or its pungency. It'll get darker and become, you know, kind of bitter tasting over time. A lot of times with horseradish sauce, when you grate the stuff out, you know, obviously it'll take a minute or two for the stuff to really start reacting and being hot. But at that point, you know, basically grate it off, and once you get it all done, leave it set for a few moments, and then you can throw a little bit of vinegar in there, stir it up, and that kind of maintains the heat. To make a prepared mustard, or a prepared mustard, yeah, prepared horseradish sauce, you can put, like, say, a tablespoon of a good oil in there, along with some vinegar, and you can add a little bit of mayonnaise, stir it up, and I'll tell you what, that makes one heck of a good dipping sauce, whether it be for fish, for roast beef, chips. I just, you know, I like it with either homemade potato chips or homemade French fries. Goes real good. And actually, I've been accused a couple times from some people of producing a nuclear-strength horseradish. So, okay. So, and trying to think of what else here. Well, horseradish. It's perennial in hardiness zones 2 to 9. And that's basically most of the United States. And, you know, further north even a little bit. And it can be grown as an annual in other zones. But so that means, you know, if you plant them in, you know, as a perennial, you know, they keep coming back every year. But you know, other areas where you don't have a long enough growing season or a long enough cold season, you know, they don't winter over. I guess that's the best way of putting it. And yeah, so that's what you need. You need a good winter dormancy season, and followed by a good long growing season. After your first frost, that's when you can dig the horseradish root up, and you want to do it carefully, because if you break off any of the little side roots or sticks, they'll want to grow back. And so it's, oh yeah. Well, here, next picture's down. You know, I got the picture, and here's some horseradish roots. If you look down here at the next picture, how best to put it? Like I have here, the main root is harvested, and one or more of the large offshoots from the main root are replanted to produce next year's crop. And last year, since I was not seeing too well when the horseradish harvesting time came around, I basically, you know, left it all in the my rings that I have. And those rings that I use, I actually use a stack of three tires, which I filled with compost and laid my I guess you could call it planting roots. Basically, it was about a 6-inch long section of the side shoots. Basically, started out with three in each stack of tires. The way they're done is you basically just dig like a little trench in there. Like I said, these are about 6 inches long, so you just lay them in there with the I guess call it the root end in, you know, the part that's furthest in the dirt, that goes back in furthest. And just kind of incline it up slightly so it encourages the direction to go to. and you bury them in there. And, you know, basically, again, it's just like the garlic. You plant them in the fall, you get your, some mulch over the top of them, you water them a few times, and then you winter them over, you know, cover them with straw or whatever so they get started. And like I said, I hadn't gotten them harvested last year. My wife and one of my boys went out and they just pulled a couple of them out. Well, it broke off lots of little roots. And this is what we got. If you look at this left-hand picture, you can see there's lots of stems in there. So this fall, I know I'm going to be unstacking these rings and probably, starting a few more rings of them. And over on the right-hand side, it's kind of hard to see, but roughly in the middle of the photo, up and down and right to left, you can see where the edge of the tire is at. It's kind of curving around. And there's some of the horseradish shoots that are coming up on the outside. And it'll spread. It's got these underground shoots, and like I have here, horseradish left undisturbed in the garden spreads via underground shoots and can become quite invasive. And I've actually seen a couple places in my travels where someone hadn't been at their house, or someone hadn't been in a house for about 3 or 4 years where they had a horseradish patch. And that patch had gotten to probably about 10 foot wide by about 15 foot long. It was amazing. I wanted to get in there with a shovel. It looked absolutely delicious to me, but unfortunately, people just wouldn't have understood me, being in some unoccupied house's yard digging up with a shovel. So, well, I just checked my time here, and I just realized that I am about to run out of time. So, with that, let me say this. Thank you all for joining me here in the Tinker Shop for Saturday evening, the 5th of July of 2014. And I guess next week I'll be continuing on with part two of horseradish and whatever else I can think of to cover. So I'll get a commercial in here, and then we'll see where we go from there. Thank you, and God bless, and take care. Bye-bye.
For the last 20 years, Army medics were taught to the same standard as civilian EMT paramedics. After the blow-up in the sandbox of Iraq and Afghanistan, the U.S. Army Medical Corps relooked on how medics were trained. Their training has prepared you on standards that apply to civilian emergency medical services that do not apply to the combat environment. Does this show actually mean combat? Not totally. Combat environments can be found in horrible natural disasters and, yes, man-made disasters. Between this show and live training, the Medic Shack will show you how to treat and survive most any natural or man-made disaster. So join us Sundays, 5 p.m. Mountain Time on the Just Measures Radio Network.